Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. A Sunday school teacher was talking about today's gospel, the parable of the sheep and the goats. And so she asked, if all the bad people in the world were painted green and all the good people were painted red, what color would you be? Small hand went up. Striped came the response. I am striped. I have days when I am aware of the needs of others and responsive, and I have days when I am in a fog, especially with the latest upsurge of COVID-19. But being striped leads, hopefully, to compassion. We are neither either or people, but both and. Yet Jesus began this parable in an either or with a dualistic example. You are either on my right because you did notice me and responded, or you are on my left because you walked on. So once the shock wore off of being either a sheep or a goat, Jesus switches things up to a both and, a non-dual mode, and encourages universal compassion, becoming one family. Just as you did it to one of the least of who are members of my family, you did it to me. Jesus connected the dots for us. What we do for others, we do for him. This is a wake-up call on the last Sunday of the church year. He challenges his audience to pay attention and let go of either-or mentality, a dualism, putting people into categories. In the end, Jesus suggests there is only one valid answer left, love. So how do you love the least of these? Who do you notice? Who are the least? Jesus, in his day, tried to cover all the categories. But our categories of the least among us has become very broad. Some were described at our vestry meeting this week. I used the upcoming gospel to start a vestry meeting, and I asked what touches them. So we were trying to figure out the least. That's what struck many. Who are the least? The least, as in the many students who still do not have access to a basic computer to go to school, let alone their parents being able to upgrade a Wi-Fi. The least. The caregivers and care facilities who work for a minimum wage, exposed to all kinds of diseases, and often work a second job just to make ends meet. The least, passing the homeless as we walk by or bike on by. But Jesus wasn't trying to make anyone feel guilty. Jesus wanted to shake us up. So from the gospel, we learn what ultimately counts is not what we believe about God, but what we do for our family of God, the sisters and brothers of Jesus. The least, like the recluse neighbor on my block. The least, like the relative or coworker we try to avoid. And even those we easily love, like family members or friends, they could probably use another FaceTime or phone call. So there are sisters and brothers all around us, and they need our compassionate response. And so I give you two stories. This is a radically edited version of Martin the Cobbler by Leo Tolstoy. There was a cobbler who lived alone in his shop with one window that looked out on the street. His wife and children all had died. And he asked God, "Holy One, why have you so long delayed in your coming? I have almost given up hope in seeing you. Please come to my humble shop this day and show me your face." Outside on the street, the cold winter brought snow. Through his window, he saw a beggar who shivered in the cold. He invited the beggar into his shop to warm him and offer a meager meal from his shrinking larder. The beggar thanked him and left. As the day passed, a few customers came with their repairs they needed for shoes and harnesses. A young boy sought shelter from the cold and snow. The child's feet were wrapped in old dirty rags and stuffed with paper. Into the shop, the cobbler invited the boy. After making him some warm milk and a sandwich from the little food he had, he went to his closet and found a pair of shoes that had belonged to his son. He fit the shoes to the boy. Grateful, the boy left with a promise to return to visit. Now it was approaching dusk, and the cobbler despaired of a visit from God. A woman with her young babe appeared in the front window. She was dressed in a thin piece of cloth, and she looked as if she might freeze to death. The cobbler invited her into his shop. Wary of the man, she hesitated at the door. But feeling the warmth within, she stepped across the threshold. The cobbler made her some tea and went to his closet to find a heavy woolen cloak that had belonged to his dead wife. Giving her the cloak, the woman thanked him, and after he shared the rest of his larder, she left with the child. The sun set. The day was over and left the cobbler bereft. "Why didn't you come and visit me today?" the cobbler asked God. He heard a voice that spoke to him, "But I did come to you when you invited the beggar, the boy, and the mother and her child. I was there with you. In each of their faces, you looked into my eyes." Martin then remembered the scripture, "When did you see me hungry and feed me, alone and naked and clothe me, and thirsty and you gave me a drink?" The visitors who had come to his shop that day revealed. In their faces, he had looked into the eyes of God. That night, the cobbler slept happy and at peace for the first time in many months. How do you sleep at night? Is it time to open your eyes and just love anyone that comes your way and see in their eyes the hidden face of God? One person at a time. I just love the following simple story about that message. St. Augustine, it is told, was walking along the beach one day and saw starfish, thousands, thousands of them, washed ashore. A little girl was running to and fro on the sand and throwing the starfish back into the water. "Why are you doing that?" Augustine asked the girl. "There are too many to save. It won't make a difference." "It will make a difference to this one," the girl said as she threw another starfish into the water. Please love your goat and sheep self, your striped green and red self, your both and self, and do what you can. Let us try to make a difference, one star person at a time. Amen.